American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, January 27th, 2005. Now, I want to note that I don't actually try to freak people out with the news. It's not my goal or intention to start looking through the news and go, what can I put online that'll just scare the living hell out of everybody who listens to me? I mean, I want Newsreel to be like Newsreel the terror, you know, the real fear. I don't go about it trying to do that, okay? It's just that the stories that come across my lap kind of seem that way, and I'm slowly beginning to realize that if the regular media reported on the stories that I reported on, there'd be massive widespread panic throughout the United States. But I seem to feel somehow that, you know, we're all big kids and we can handle the truth. So I report the stories as is. So please, you know, in regards to today's stories, don't start freaking out. There are a lot of really crazy stuff that's happening now. And to be honest, really, it's all over but the crime. We are now living within a fascist state if you live in the United States of America. It's all over but the crime. There's no real question whatsoever. But first, some feedback. Hi, guess what, Sean? Soy may not be the magical super health food with nothing but positive effects. I'm sure these links have plenty of bullshit and half-truths, but it's enough, at least for me, to cast doubt on soy's health benefits. This makes those got soy t-shirts seem a bit ironic in their criticism of the dairy industry. P.S. SCP can contain high amounts of RNA, ribonucleic acid, which is too much is consumed can cause gout. I believe corn processes its microprotein to reduce RNA. And that's from Tarapia. No, of course, soy is not the be-all, end-all of the universe. All things in moderation. We must make sure that when we look at soy, that we're not just going to go, right, that's it for me then, all I'm going to eat is soy. No, that's not what I'm saying. But when you look at, does soy give you mad cow disease, you've got to choose, it's easy to choose between good and evil. What's harder to do is choose between the evil that is more good. And I would say that if we take a look at all the negative effects of soy and all the negative effects of red meat or organic red meat or whatever, and you were to line up all the pros and cons, I think soy would still come out on top. That said, I do recommend that people exercise moderation. If you're going to cut back on meat, have it like once a month or something like that. Have it when you can, just to augment your system and listen to your body above anything else. I mean, I've done a lot of research on, like, eat right for your body type based on blood types, and there's a lot of science behind that. I don't know how much of it is marketing bullshit. It's so hard to tell now because, you know, since we know that the news, it's not illegal for the news to lie to you. There's no checksum or balance regarding the news. It's all just programming and propaganda. Is there any truth left? I try to give you the truth, but, I mean, you've got my word on that. You know, that's what the future of media is going to be. It's going to be independents like such as myself who rely on the donations of their listeners in order to bring you the news as they see fit to be true. You know, relying on, you know, special reporters and all the rest of it. I think that may, in fact, be where it is. But in regards to soy, no, please do not think that I'm saying it's the magical be-all, end-all, but it's better than beef. Now, we're going to go right into some feedback and opinion, and sort yourself out is all combined into one large email, which I received the other day. Hang on to your hats for this one, because this is going to be a sort yourself out that I never expected to hear. Dear SKTFM, I don't expect a reply or for you to want to help me with this, but we're going to delete that name. The current patient zero of the cult.info.
What? The cult?
We talked on IRC with a few other members. Anyways, man, there's an ex-member, not a guardian or anything, but he kept pushing to have Cult make money, mostly for him, by selling drugs. We warned him many times about how this was a bad idea, and he kept pushing. So one day when he was talking about having grow houses and snail mailing grow kits to members for mushrooms, a member kicked him out. I saw all the logs. Anyway, I thought and think it was valid because he had an off-topic and a god-awful opinion. Which, you know, I mean, this is the internet, so, you know, everybody's got their opinion. He came back a few weeks later. Now he's harassing all of the members, and he thinks he's an expert brainwasher and keeps trying to be nice and then tear down members in private conversations. I've taken all the logs that I can and posted them to the forums basically to warn members that he isn't a nice guy and he just wants to use them. Now he says he's going to use his friends to take over cult. I have no idea how he thinks he could do such a thing. Oh, trust me, they come up with wondrous ways to do this. Anyway, I'm not sure how to make him go the fuck away or basically make sure every member knows he's full of shit. My question to you is, what should I do? Thanks for your time, man. Patient Zero. Now, a lot of people are going to be saying, holy crap, I never expected to see something like this. And I didn't expect to see this come through the email anyway. And right away, I was really happy that it did. Not because I'm glad the cult's experiencing problems. Far from it. I think that, the cult.info is a great organization. I think that the guys running there are trying to do a good thing. I mean, I designed the cult so that it wouldn't die. That's why I created the thing. And it's still going on. And now there's this young fellow who wants to try to get this thing to happen, and he's got problems, and there's people trying to recruit other people. So, you know, do I think there's something wrong with this? First of all, let's address the issue of selling drugs. Okay, there's many different things we can talk about with this email. First of all, the issue of, let's cut that back even further. Let's talk about drugs for just a moment here. And we're going to go with the illegal drugs versus the legal drugs. So we're going to talk about marijuana and mushrooms, because that's apparently what they're talking about here. Now, personally, my opinion is I don't have a problem with marijuana or mushrooms. I don't think they should be illegal. It's pretty hard to make plants that naturally grow all across North America illegal. I mean, you can go out on your lawn and pick mushrooms. Further to that, you can go plant some seeds in your backyard and grow a marijuana plant. Do I think there's any problems with smoking marijuana for your own personal thing? No, absolutely not. I'm very libertarian when it comes to that. If you're using it to treat depression or appetite suppression or any of the other, you know, thousands of uses of medicinal marijuana, then, you know, fill your boots. You know, why not? And as for mushrooms, well, there's a lot of, you know, psilocybin, and when taken in a 5-gram dose, has been responsible for many, like, spiritual quests and things like that. Taken, you know, I do a lot of listening at deoxy.org. I listen to a lot of Terrence McKenna and see how this, you know, mushroom, this relatively humble servant of the world, is, you know, giving out information and experiences to those who wish to seek it. Now, the problem is, of course, when you begin to sell stuff like this. Now, if the members of cult were considering, you know, this guy was talking about growing marijuana and giving it away, or growing mushrooms and giving them away, I probably wouldn't have that much of a problem with it. It would be taking a very serious risk, though, because, I mean, now you're trafficking, even though you're not selling it. You're still trafficking in an illegal substance in a police state. You know, very bad timing on this, because, of course, America is going absolutely batshit bonkers insane because there's a madhouse in the White House, and everybody's afraid for, you know, the terrorism and all the rest of it. So when you run an organization like that's called Cult, that has terrorist as part of its name, one of the reasons why I tried to disband Cult originally was because of the 9/11 attacks, and I knew that America would be going this way. You want to think very hard about that. So you want to stay away from drugs, especially from any kind of trafficking of drugs whatsoever, if you're running a counterculture organization. Now, do I think you should use the sale of marijuana and mushrooms to fund an organization? Well, people have been using drugs to fund military coups for years. They will continue to do so for years. However, I don't think it's a very good idea to do that because, well, for one thing, it seems to make the whole experience dirty. You know, if you were going to give somebody marijuana, or you're going to give them magic mushrooms, I wouldn't have too much of a problem with that, provided they were, you know, of course, legal consenting age and all the rest of it. But I don't think that selling drugs is really the kind of image or message that, you know, an organization should be trying to portray, especially when they're trying to make a difference in the counterculture. Now, the other problem of this, why this is particularly dangerous, is, again, because of modern times. And cult has a tendency to attract young people who are looking for an identity. They're looking for a way to become Lee Haxor. They want to be, you know, super badass. They want to wear black, have the shades, and feel like they got the t-shirt and can wear it too. And I understand that. That's one of the draws of the organization. That's why I built the organization, to provide a safe and secure way for young people to do that, so they didn't wind up getting shot by police or getting harassed. So when you have an individual who's coming in and preying upon people who may not have a clear idea about how dangerous the world of drug trafficking can be, especially through the web in today's day and age, that's a very, very dangerous level there. That's very, very dangerous. So I would say that this guy's got a problem. Now, I sent him a few private emails to discuss what exactly I thought he should do. And I told him, you know, well, hey, man, if this guy's trying to recruit for the purpose of sale, then maybe, you know, you should tell him that if he doesn't stop, that you're going to report his ass to the authorities. I mean, give him the option. Say, look, dude, I don't mean to rat you out and fuck your life, but if you don't stop this, okay, I'm going to report you, and you're going to go down for a drug charge in the United States, which basically means, what, 15 years in the federal pen or whatever the hell it is? Because they're, you know, psychos about drugs and stuff like that in the United States. They're not really too keen on the whole drug culture whatsoever. So that would be step one that I would say. When I told him that, he said, well, I wanted to do that, but we have a problem because we can't track the guy or whatever. So I said, well, you know, you can ask for help. And unfortunately, I guess since I left, the numbers of the cults have kind of, you know, fallen by the wayside. There's not as many people. So what we got here is we got a group of kids who have, you know, members of various ages. I don't mean to be, this isn't in any way meant to be a slight. Okay, a lot of people would sit there and say, Sean, why wouldn't you just sit back and laugh? Ha ha, cult's dying. Okay, first of all, I'm very honored and very humbled that the guy, the patient zero of cult right now, came to ask me this. Okay, because that takes balls to do something like that, especially after all the, you know, bad fallout and all the rest of it. That takes a lot of balls. Further to that, the counterculture should be about unity and solidarity. So I would encourage anyone, I'd like to lead by example on an issue like this. I'd like to sit back and say, you know what? What's done is done. Okay, what happened, happened. And, you know, the organization's still going. There's still people are still making connections. People are still making friends. So I think that's a good thing. Let's take a look at all the good that came out of cult, and let's forget about all the bad. And if anyone out there, you know, has problems with that and thinks that I'm just being a putz or whatever, well, then you know what? Fuck you, because you don't know what's going on. I do know what's going on. And I think that now is the time, especially now in this day and age, when we really need to put down all, you know, the flaming and all the bullshit, and we really have to get on side together. Now, as to back to the, well, people should be able to do what they want, Sean. Yes, that's true. People should be able to do what they want. But again, when it comes down to that, you know, Sean's little moral kind of compass there, I think that a lot of young people could wind up fucking up their entire lives over some, you know, trying to fit themselves into a persona that perhaps is not a good fit, or they don't have the kind of experience or training they need to do that. So I'm trying to avoid young people going to jail. Now, in my own personal moral code regarding selling drugs, I had a chance to get into selling drugs living in BC. You know, I was offered an opportunity to get involved with grow houses, you know, grow marijuana and sell it and, you know, help harvest and all that kind of stuff. The gig brings in around $45,000 every 3 months Canadian. And this was offered to me years ago. This was prior to marriage and prior to everything and before cult was even a dream. And I had to sit back. I was just out of the Army, and I had to sit back and think long and hard about whether or not I wanted to do this. At this stage of the game, I had no ties, wasn't really feeling all that moral, and I had to look in the mirror and make a decision. Now, I chose not to, and the reason why I did it may make you laugh. You may think that I'm a loser for making this decision. But personally, I look in the mirror and I go, I like to think of myself as an anti-hero. You know, like Batman or the Punisher, that kind of a thing. And realistically, good guys, they're in the world, there are good guys, and there are bad guys. Good guys do not sell drugs. That is just the way it is. Bad guys sell drugs. So if you have to make a choice between being a good guy and a bad guy, I always choose being a good guy who does bad things from time to time. Now, after talking to Patient Zero, this guy's in way over his head. And all I can do, I can't help him out, really. I mean, because I don't have the time or the effort to really get involved to help with this. But for those of you out there who are looking for a righteous hack, who want to give this guy some time so you can track down where this guy is, so he's got a little bit of muscle to deal with this problem, with this guy who's trying to push drugs on everyone. And for the dude, no doubt the guy who's trying to do all this is listening to this too, and I recognize I'm only seeing one side of the story. But even if the fact is that you wish to sell drugs to make money to fund a counterculture movement, that cannot happen, and I'm not going to let you do it to kids in an organization that I can prevent on my watch. So if any of the people who are pretty, you know, any of the hard net running deckers out there want to, you know, dust off the boots, put on the hat to go back and help out a guy to stop some kids from getting themselves into trouble, I think, honestly, the counterculture, we need to police our own. So you can get in touch with this Patient Zero. Please email help, H-E-L-P, at thecult.info. And you'll be able to get in touch with him and take it over with Patient Zero. I'm out of the loop. If you send me flame mail regarding this issue, I'm not even going to answer you. Okay? He told me. The guy asked me for help. I told you my opinion. I am now relaying that information. If you want to help him, you can. If you don't, tell him to go fuck a wall. You know, and if this guy wants to keep going or whatever, hey, it's out of my hands, man. For the record, I say don't sell drugs. That's just me, though. You have your right to your own opinion. Into the news. Bully much. President George W. Bush tried to bully Canadian officials on a missile defense during his recent visit by linking Ottawa's participation to future protection. The Washington Post reported yesterday. The newspaper quoted an unidentified Canadian official. You know, I wonder why everyone's so afraid to say who they are. Have you noticed that? Everyone's unidentified this and unidentified that. I wonder why that is. Quoted an unidentified Canadian official who was in the room as saying that Mr. Bush waved off attempts to explain how contentious the issue is for Prime Minister Paul Martin's minority government. The president leaned across the table and said, "I'm not taking this position, but some future president is going to say, why are we paying to defend Canada?" Wow, them's fighting words. The official was quoted as saying, "Most of our side was trying to explain the politics and how it was difficult to do," he said. But Mr. Bush waved his hand and remarked, "I don't understand this. Are you saying that if you got up and said this is necessary for the defense of Canada, it wouldn't be accepted?" No, it wouldn't be accepted. The White House refused to comment on this pointed remarks. Now, there's a joke, which is 1 in 10 Canadians are authors and 1 in 10 Americans can read. Unfortunately, you know, that may piss off a lot of Americans, but you know what? That's not our fault here, okay? The education system in the United States, the public education system in the United States, let's say that it leaves a little something to be desired, okay? And Canadians are a pretty, you know, they're a pretty thoughtful bunch. I mean, we've got no military. You know, I'm not even going to try that. You know, we're not going to stand up. I mean, our soldiers, you know, they do the best they can with what they got, and they're good guys. But come on, man. There's only, what, 40 million people in the whole country? California. You know, you could take Compton. Compton could invade Canada, and that'd be it for us. You know, so when it comes down to this, but a missile defense shield? No, because the missile defense shield, as we all know from reading the news reports, doesn't work. It's yet another device that is just a money expenditure for who's ever building them, the missile defense shield, to make money. And we're going to get multiple governments doing that. I mean, this is about, of course, it's got nothing to do with security. It's got nothing to do with defense. It's about money. Nobody wants to invade Canada because Canada doesn't affect anyone. What are we going to do? Drown them with beer? Cross-check them into the boards? Give me a break, man. We're Canada. We don't do that stuff. We show up when other countries have problems and we try to fix things. That's what Canada's trip is. Now, I don't count myself specifically as a Canadian or as an American. I like to think of myself as a North American. I like to think of myself as someone who happens to be geographically located with a bit of an advantage regarding the law. Very, very fortunate for that. And this is why I'm able to, you know, broadcast this, because in the United States, what I'm doing would be considered illegal. I'd be a terrorist and, you know, I'd be subversive and all the rest of it simply for, you know, speaking what I believe to be the truth. Which is unfortunate, because America should really be the homeland of people who speak the truth. You know, land of the free, home of the brave, and all that good stuff. Now, I'm not anti-American by any stretch of the imagination. I've been accused of being way too pro-American, actually. But, in all honesty, I like Americans. I think they're good people. I'm just terribly afraid of their government. When they pull crap like this, it scares me on a very deep and personal level. Robots are set to become the guardians of culture in Japan. The 1.5-meter tall, 5-foot robot, HRP-2 Promet, which looks like an animation character wearing a visor, so kind of think Transformers, shuffled its gray metal feet and waved its hand in the air in sync with a woman in a kimono. Now, watch me murder this Japanese name. Katsushi Ikuchi, professor of engineering at Tokyo University, said the robot, which is usually used for construction sites, was taught traditional Japanese dance to preserve the art of the future. Art for the future, pardon me. The slow-paced dance, which is performed in groups and accompanied by lutes and other Japanese instrument, is rapidly losing ground in the 21st century, with many young people only encountering it at local festivals. Ikuchi has, in the past, tried to use technology to keep digital records of historic objects, such as the Buddha statues and old temples. It's also important for us to digitally record intangible things, such as traditional Japanese dancing. Or how about martial arts? Hey, there we go. Let's give that robot a katana and watch what happens next. I bet you he'll make Slashdot front page. He said he'd program the robot to replicate human movements. Why stop there, dude? Get all Bushido about that. I mean, that would be pretty slick. I would love to have, like, my pet samurai, like some little four-foot-tall toy robot that would go through a complete, perfect set of sword katas. That'd be pretty cool. Moving out of Japan up into England, it seems that Patricia Tabram, who's 66 years old, oh, Grandma Tabram, of Hexham, Northumberland, bakes cannabis-laced biscuits, soups, and casseroles for herself and her friends. Wow, it's bridge night over at Tabram's, Grandma Tabram's house. Yeah, baby, you know that everyone's going to be having a good time there. She's written a book about it, and she hopes her book called Grandma Eats Cannabis will be in print soon. Yeah, you can sign me up for that. Anyone in the UK want to get me a copy of that? Miss Tabram appeared in court this week after admitting possessing cannabis with the intent to supply. A 66-year-old grandmother. Proceedings were adjourned to allow for the preparation of reports, and she was remanded on bail until the 11th of March. The grandmother of two began cooking for her friends using food laced with the illegal drug after being introduced to it last year. So at 65, she started smoking weed. Atta girl. Miss Tabram, a former chief, said... Oh, pardon me, a former chef. Looked like chief to me. Said, I suffer from depression, whiplash in my neck, and back pain, which is very common. Well, I don't know about whiplash, but a lot of older people have arthritis, which cannabis is used for. And I went to bed the next morning, and I felt so much better. I didn't know what I had taken, so I asked my friends. They said it was cannabis. Oh, she didn't even... But I didn't like smoking, so they said I could cook with it, which, of course, is a completely different effect if you eat it rather when you smoke it. So I'm told. But Northumbria police were tipped off and twice raided her house in May and June last year. They seized 31 cannabis plants growing in her loft and another one from her hallway table. 31 plants? Seems a little heavy for personal use, don't you think, Grandma? Maybe you should slow down and look at the size of your pants, for Christ's sakes. Holy crap. I mean, but that said, I would sooner see them, you know, doing cannabis than, you know, drinking, like, absolute fish, which they do in England, of course. You can't throw a dead cat without hitting a bar over there. But, you know, realistically, why would you arrest a 66-year-old grandmother on drug charges? She's not a threat. Give me a break, would ya? Now then, skipping over to the technology sector, it seems that we've come across something pretty hot here. I'd like to get my hands on these. How about some spray-on solar cells? The plastic material uses nanotechnology and contains the first solar cells able to harness the sun's invisible infrared rays. The breakthrough has led theorists to predict the plastic solar cells could one day be 5 times more efficient than current solar cell technology. So that would be pretty sexy to get something that would currently produce 40 watts, like you see those ones you can buy that are like, you know, 2 feet by about a foot. Those produce about 40 watts. Well, imagine one of those pumping out 200 watts. Why is this not front page? This is huge information. Like paint, the composite can be sprayed onto other materials and used as portable electricity. A sweater coated in the material could power a cell phone or other wireless devices. A hydrogen-powered car painted with the film could potentially convert enough energy into electricity to continually recharge the car's battery. Okay, there's a lot of vapor there. That's very molar because there's a lot of potentials and coulds there. But, you know, it's still very cool. I mean, let's just talk about spraying our house with it or a building or a skyrise or what have you. The researchers envision that one day solar farms consisting of the plastic material could be rolled across deserts to generate enough clean energy to supply the entire planet's power needs. Wow. The sun that reaches the Earth's surface delivers 10,000 times more energy than we consume, said Ted Sargent, an electrical and computer engineer professional at the University of Toronto. Sargent is one of the inventors of the new plastic material. And he's in Toronto, you say. If we could cover 0.1% of the Earth's surface with these very efficient large area solar cells, we could in principle replace all of our energy habits with a source of power which is clean and renewable. Of course, We'd rather hear about war in the news rather than this incredibly massive potential breakthrough. I mean, when you see something like that, why aren't we just, oh, wait, let's not buy that particular stealth bomber. Let's put just, you know, a couple billion dollars into harnessing the power of the sun so we're not in an energy crisis anymore. That means that we won't have to keep killing kids in Iraq. And, oh, of course, the big companies will be losing money. But, you know, personally, I'd rather take people's lives over profits. That's just me. Now, this next story, again, is, I know I say this probably every show, but this is one of the most disturbing stories I have seen in a very, very long time. Two children were arrested for drawing stick figures. Two boys, ages 9 and 10, were charged with felonies and taken away from school in handcuffs, 9 and 10 years old, in handcuffs, accused of making violent drawings of stick figures. Okay, the purpose of handcuffs is to restrain violent offenders. Why would you put handcuffs on 9- and 10-year-olds? The boys were arrested Monday on charges of making a written threat to kill or harm another person, a second-degree felony, and pretty big stuff for 9- and 10-year-olds. This special education students, ooh, they're special education students, used a pencil and red crayon to draw primitive stick figure scenes on scrap paper that showed a 10-year-old classmate being stabbed and hung, police said. The officer found the drawing of these pictures for the sole purpose The officer found that they were drawing these pictures for the sole purpose of intimidating and scaring the victim. Okay, we're going to start policing 9- and 10-year-olds. What about the parents? What about the teachers? Isn't that kind of their role here? Do we really have to call in, you know, Ocala Police Sergeant Russ Kern? Do we really need that? The boy, depicted in the drawing, told his teacher, who took the sketches and contacted the school dean, Marty Clifford. Clifford called the police. Okay, Clifford. Marty, you know, what were you thinking, man? What were you thinking to call the police over something like this, who arrested the boys after consulting with the state attorney's office? Good God. So the cops, nobody wanted to make a call here because everybody's scared shitless, and it goes right the way up the chain. These two drawings go right up the chain to the state attorney's office. They were also suspended from school, not to mention the fact that they're already, you know, in the special needs class, so they probably are going to have huge trauma now. And forget these kids ever trying to have some kind of normal childhood, because they'll be ostracized by their classmates and probably any other school they go to through. Oh, those are the crazy kids. They're the ones who can draw. One drawing showed the two boys standing on either side of the other boy, holding knives pointed through his body, according to the police report. The figures were identified by written names or initials. Of course, they had to be identified by written names or initials because the drawings are such incredibly poor quality. Go to my live journal, of course, read along with me in the book. You know it's time for me to turn the page when I say something like, oh my God, I can't believe how stupid these people are being. I cannot believe, like, that this has happened. Does anyone else here see this as just sheer idiocy? Like, this is idiocy. This is nuts. This is totally insane. To start reporting children for stick fingers? Like, I knew it was bad when kids were pointing fingers at each other going, bang, you're dead, cowboys and Indians and all that stuff. But my God, is this really necessary? No, this is insane. America, wake up. What are you doing to your children? What are you doing? Are you so afraid? Come on, man. We've been doing nothing's changed. There's been no terrorist attack. You've been duped. And you're being led down the garden path to put your kids in jail over this kind of insane terror. It's nuts. This next story, I mean, following yesterday's story, I'm sorry, that stick figure thing has really got me wound up. Now, remember when we were talking yesterday about Buddy who created the virus that could jump through Bluetooth technology and infect phones and all the rest of it? Well, it's now spreading to the cars. Lexus cars may be vulnerable to a virus that infect them via mobile phones. Land Cruiser 100 models LX470 and LS430 have been discovered with the infected operating system that can transfer within a range of 15 feet. Wonder how fast it transfers, so if you drive by somebody. If infected mobile devices are scary, just thinking about certain infected onboard computer, said Eugene Kaspary, the head of antivirus research at a Russian firm, Kaspersky. We do know that car manufacturers are integrating existing operating systems into their onboard computers. Take the Fiat and Microsoft's deal, for example. It is understood that a virus could affect the navigation system of the Lexus models. It transfers onto them via Bluetooth mobile phones connection. It's still unclear whether cars in question use the Symbian operating system, which has recently been under attack from various other worms and viruses. At this stage, it's still early, but it just goes to show that technology has its consequences, said David Eames, senior technology consultant at Caspary. It's scary stuff. Okay, of course it's scary stuff, because this guy runs an antivirus company, so he's going to try to scare as many people as he can with this. Vulnerable operating systems are increasingly moving onto a number of different devices. Last year, the Slammer worm infected 13,000 Bank of America ATMs as a result of them moving to a Windows-based operating system. I've even seen screenshots of major commercial aeroplanes with Windows 2000-based operating systems, said Mikko Hyppönen, director of antivirus research at the Finnish firm F-Secure. Cars are an obvious target for viruses. It's okay if you don't use the operating system for the engine and the brakes, but when you do, dot, dot, dot. Okay, well, you know, I understand that there's a problem here. And I understand that there's a lot of, fear that could come from this. I mean, let's be real. If you start putting, viruses onto your, or you start having operating systems in your vehicles and in your airplanes, then, yeah, you are susceptible to viruses. And it is not totally unbelievable that someone could come along with malicious or, nasty intent and decide to crash a few planes. This is the worst case scenario. Is it possible? I don't know. But it's something we need to look at. It's something we need to make sure of. And this is why, just because you can make a virus that jumps around a mobile phone doesn't mean you should. Let's have a little bit of accountability here. Let's try to police our own a little bit. And how about this one? The Laughing Man Lives. At least that's the way it might work if technology described by Hewlett-Packard makes it to market. A recent patent application from the computing giant describes a system in which digital cameras would be equipped with circuits that could be remotely triggered to blur the face of in any image captured by the camera. Whoa. How crazy is that? Of course, it could easily be circumvented because you just don't use the cameras that have it and you go back to film. U.S. Patent Application 20040202382 filed in April of 2003 and published in October 2004 describes a system in which an image captured by a camera could be automatically modified based on a command sent by a remote device. Now, for those of you who don't watch Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, this is about as Laughing Man as it gets. Laughing Man was a hacker who could, in real time, hack cameras so that his logo appeared over his face, skewing his identity. In short, anyone who doesn't want their photo taken at a particular time could hit a clicker to ensure that any cameras or camera-equipped gadgets in range got only a fuzzy outline of their face. Personally, I have a hard-on for this technology. Marizo Pilu, an engineer in HP's Bristol, England, says in the applications that such a system would balance the proliferation of digital image capabilities with a growing concerns about privacy. Of course, the flip side to this is, what if, the cops are beating someone down, and of course you know that the law enforcement are going to have anti-filming and all that in place. I don't know why, but they'll come up with some sort of theory behind that, why, they can't be taking photos of police, breaking the law, because that would make, sticky, bank cases and all the rest of it. But personally, this is technology we need to master. Those of you out there listening to this who have some free time, those of you out there who want to get into the bleeding edge of cyberpunk, this is what you need to be looking at. Because this is where we're going. We got to stay one step ahead, boys. We got to keep on top of this. So please, follow that. And in Tokyo, the Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi. Now, this is scary. I didn't even know there was a Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi, but apparently there is. And the Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi said Wednesday it will start the free issuance in April of biometric-based bank cards that identify holders with their registered palm vein patterns when they withdraw money through automated telling machines. This is the kind of thing you see in the old sci-fi movies where they have a hand plate. You put the hand down, it scans your hand plate to make sure that the veins are all there and everything's cool. The bank will charge no fees for the Super IC cards and compensates holders for up to 5 million yen if they fall victims to thefts using forged bank cards. And that's all I got on this story. This is from a Japanese news source. You link to it off my LiveJournal again. But It's, I mean, that's, wow, that's totally cyberpunk. I mean, it's a pretty, is it a good idea? Sure, why not? I mean, banking, you know, let's try to use this to be as secure as possible. We want to keep the bad guys from taking our money, I guess. That's a good idea. I'm a little, it's not in any way a federal thing. It's not an ID thing. I think that's a pretty good use of this technology. It's exciting. It's definitely neat. Now, here's a technology that they're estimating by about 2007 is going to be hitting the books. So you want to learn how to hack cell phones in a big way. The Electronics and Technology Research Institute plans to complete development of a built-in RFID reader chip that will allow cell phones to receive RFID signals. This would enable users with a device embedded into their cell phones to receive info based on their surroundings, such as standing in front of a movie poster and hearing the latest soundtrack from that movie, or even viewing a teaser trailer. Minority Report much? The Ministry of Information and Communication of Korea is exploring new business models combining mobile's infrastructure and RFID. Their goal is to push the mobile RFID to commercial service in 2007. Once RFID receivers are built into cell phones, the possibilities are endless. Yeah, and the fear is endless too. For example, buy a product off the supermarket shelf, the RFID tag will identify itself, and your phone can download a recipe associated with the product. It's a great technology. The only thing that worries me is the human branding implications. Remember 1984? Yeah, well, you know, when they're actually talking about 1984 in the news, you know, there's a problem there. In a really, really sad ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday, so, you know, when the last few pieces of rights have gone by the wayside, and it really shows a sign of our times. And yet another reason why, you know, don't sell drugs, okay, to make money, because you'll go to jail, okay? Above everything else, above all moral things, it's hard to do it and get away with it, especially now because the U.S. Supreme Court ruled Monday that narcotics-detecting dogs, drug dogs, can be used for all routine traffic stops. This is law. This came into effect Monday. That drug dogs can be used at routine traffic stops all across the United States. And you can bet that students with varying degrees of other incriminating visual factors are going to be targets. If you're under the age of 30 and wearing an anti-Bush t-shirt, you can bet that they're going to sick the dogs on you. The case involved John Cabells, an Illinois man who was stopped for doing only 6 miles over the speed limit, but narcotics-detecting dogs ended up finding $250,000 worth of marijuana while sniffing around in his trunk. The fact that he was stopped for doing only six over is a sign that this ruling is going to open the door for more frivolous traffic stops with the officers hoping to find drugs. So camouflage is the order of the day. In a 6-2 ruling, Justice John Paul Stevens issued a statement stating that Cabells had no legal right to privacy concerning illegal narcotics, and since narcotics dogs are only trained to detect illegal drugs, not money or any lawful possessions, constitutional search and seizure protections were not violated. Well, okay. Not only do narcotics detection dogs often make mistakes resulting in an awful rummaging through one's personal possessions, but it's commonly because they detect money with drugs residue on it. Between 70 and 96% of bills are estimated to have residue of some illegal narcotics. So 70 to 96% of cash money is estimated to have residue from some illegal narcotic on it. That's a lot of drugs to be infecting your money. Holy crap. And, I mean, let's not also forget that just the fact of having these dogs running around and you know, you get pulled over and you get searched by dogs? Yeah, well, I guess it's the police state. I guess that's what you have in the USSA. You know, that's what's happening in fascist America. And I'm sorry. You know, for the record, I am sorry, America. I'm sorry that this is happening to you. I really am. I mean, it's sad. It hurts me. I see stories like this and I want to weep. Children going to jail for making, you know, stupid little art drawings. I mean, I made stick figure drawings when I was in school. They were a hell of a lot more violent than the ones they showed there. Go take a look at some comic books that these kids are reading. Dude. Spawn much? But no. It's all over now. Freedom's gone. Art's gone. And we're going to have the drug-sniffing dogs just randomly checking vehicles on the road. The European Patent Office has got some processing on people trying to patent flowers. The European Patent Office is currently considering an application by a crop science giant, Syngenta. Now, I've never heard of these guys, but I bet you Syngenta's huge, okay? To control the DNA, okay, there's a patent to control DNA that regulates the way flowers grow in rice plants. Rice plants. Not only will this give Syngenta control over rice crops, but it could also be generalized by patent lawyers to apply controlling the flowering of plants in general. Okay, we're patenting the flowers, including 23 major food crops and maybe even plants yet unknown. This includes plants that could find in the Amazon that have medicinal properties. You can bank they'll be in there. This comes at the end of the United Nations Year of Rice, 2004, which saw both private and public bodies come close to completing their sequence of the rice genome. Rice, of course, is representing a huge food stock in the United States. I mean, who doesn't eat rice? Syngenta are currently the world's biggest agrochemical firm, just ahead of Bayer. Bayer, incidentally, were the people, you know, Bayer Aspirin. Yeah, they're the same guys who made Cyclone B that killed all the Jews. And the world's second biggest seller, just behind DuPont and Monsanto. Monsanto, who likes to sue and put farmers in jail for replanting seeds. And I don't have any dirt on DuPont, but I'm sure I'm going to get some in my email. In the shrunken world of genetically modified food, there are now the company most likely to succeed. God, I hope not. Control of these patents on rice would give them a foothold in the world's largest food crop, and also a strong ability to expand in the future into similar plants. The world's largest food crop, rice, being patented by a corporatical giant. That's terrifying. Now, to add to this terror once again, you might want to meet me in New York, because I don't know how often I'm going to be going to the United States anymore. Why is that, you may ask? The U.S. Department of Homeland Security plans to begin issuing special identification devices to foreign visitors arriving by foot and by car by July 31st, according to a Tuesday announcement from the agency. The devices will contain microchips storing unique identification code that's linked via government computers to the document holder's name, countries of origin, dates of entry and exit, and biometric data. Essentially, it's your very own foreign ID card. I'm a foreigner, Uber Alice. The department plans to begin issuing this high-tech IDs to foreign visitors at border crossings in in a bunch of places, Blaine, Washington, right closest to me, as part of a year-long test of the system. The goal of using the technology is to more easily track visitors' arrival and departure. Yeah, those crazy Canadians coming down there. We want to track them and catch those who overstay their visas. Dude, you couldn't pay me to stay in the United States now, the agency said. It should also speed up inspection procedures at checkpoints. We'll make the trains run on time. Border officials can simply scan the chips, which signal their ID numbers via radio frequency from a distance and automatically gather the data they need. Well, isn't that fantastic? Doesn't that just make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside that we got that level of security in the United States? So you can't have us evil Canadians crossing the border and, you know, buying cheese and milk. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Come on, America. What are you doing? Where's your head on this? There's got to be a way we can stop this. You've got to stop this. Everyone out there listening to this broadcast has got to stand up and go, whoa, wait a minute, we got to stop this. Get involved. Get involved politically. We got to beat this back. In another 4 years, are you even going to have a prayer? Is America still even going to have elections in 4 years? Look how rapid this is going. You think I'm jumping the gun? Dude, they're arresting children for drawings. They got drug dogs checking people at traffic stops. And now they'll check them at the drop of a hat. Under the age of 30, let the dog sniff you. This is terrifying. It's truly terrifying. Everyone's going to have their papers. It's a horrible thing. And I'm not trying to freak you out here, but if you're not involved with politics now, even if you're for this, okay? If you're for this, great. If America believes, if truly, there's a majority in America who thinks this is a good idea, if that's the case, majority rule, baby. Welcome to democracy. That's what happens. But personally, I don't think there is a majority in the United States who think this is a good idea. I think there's an awful lot of people in the United States who think this is an exceptionally bad idea. I think there's a lot of people in the United States who would do anything to stop this. It's terrifying. And they're going to hand everything over to the corporations. You know that, eh? So eventually, you know, you're not going to be able to get a credit card without using your biometric data. And it goes on and on and on from there. I'm sorry that this has gone as far as it has. But now is the time to stop it. Now is the time to get involved. Because if the time to get involved is not now, I can't imagine when that time would be. Your daily hack was sent to me. I'll pass it to you. I thought I'd pass this along to a site that was recently launched by the Environmental Protection Agency in the United States. You can go to this site. You can get it off my LiveJournal. And you can specify your city, country, state, zip code, watershed, EPA region, latitude, longitude, and facility or address. And it lists the major water polluters in the area. Very interesting. Definitely something the U.S. WOGS may want to check out to see any health hazards, water, air, etc. that they're not hearing about. Now, that's brilliant. That's outstanding. So I encourage everyone to go to my live journal, go down to the Daily Hack, check on this, and see what's happening with your water. Because, you know, you need that to live. You don't drink water and you die. So that's kind of a terrifying thing there. You know, there's a lot of things we got to keep track of, and now more than ever, it's more important that we fight this. We have to fight any way we can now. But, you know, protests, do they work? I think they work, probably a little bit. I mean, they draw attention. Should you be subversive? Should you break the law? No. I won't encourage you to break the law, because then I will go to jail for encouraging people to break the law. But it's pretty hard not to break the law now, isn't it? Pretty hard not to break the law in the United States. You can't even go inside your house. They can just say, oh, you know, you're subversive. So really, is breaking the law, are you actually breaking the law, or are people just deciding that you're breaking the law? That's where we're at right now, where the government can just come along, point its finger at you and say, that's it for you. If I was in the United States right now, I'd probably move out of the cities. I really would, because I don't want to get all dark prophecy on you, but I think something big's coming, guys. I think there's going to be some major violence and some major power shortages, and I think there's something big coming down the pipe. I'd get out of the cities if I was you. I really would. That's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of some hard net runners who are willing to stand up in this time of crisis and make the donation so that I can stay on the air. These people are Jesse, Lars, Michael, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, Derek, Eric, Jason, Peter, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Greg, Richard, Weblife, Drake, Matt, Evan, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, William, Trevor, Jonathan, Mark, Kitsune, Art, Matthew, Christopher, Kyle, Justin, and Matthew. Folks, these people have taken a stand and have decided to help me out, and I thank these people from the bottom of my heart. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air that is free and truly independent media, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate icon. That's actually for the month of December as well. I should note that. So if you've donated in the month of January, I will be handing out accolades to you. But that'll start. It's always the month after to the previous month. So, of course, you know, January I do December's. So this was December's list. We'll see what's happening in January. I have no idea how many are out there, or I don't even see the list. Sim shows up, hands me the list, and then runs away, and we do a lot of data shredding so that nobody gets, sent to jail. Some special thanks to some hard netrunners who have been out there gathering data for me. Jijin Machina, Ricky Rocket, Pig Monkey, Dark Druid. And I've got a digital baptism. Snake Ghost is now Dr. Lucifer. And for everyone else who's gathered data or has access to data or has anything you want to send me or information or opinions, questions, make sure you. I'm totally dry on the sort yourself out section. You guys got to have some problems. Maybe you just don't like my advice. I don't know. But you know. Ask me any kind of question you want. As you can see, I'll answer anybody. You know, send it in. If you got any news or questions, advice, whatever, send it in to Newsreel, that's NEWSREAL, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, go buy the new deluxe edition of Volume 1, The Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. Not only do you get the really cool DVD of an amazing anime series, which everyone should permanently download and ingrain in their brain so they watch it whenever they blink, you also get a really cool soundtrack, which is what's playing in the background. And I think that it's just perfectly dope. So, until tomorrow, everyone stay free. That's what Server said. End of line.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
resistance is futile.